Saturday, June 5th. Arrived in Paris this morning, there was a certain feeling that came over me as we approached the city. It very well seemed as if I was returning home after a long absence. No feeling of strangeness. My French had not improved during my absence, but there didn't seem to be any language barrier anymore. Naima met me at the station. We went directly to the Royal Monceau Hotel, which happens to be very nice. Charles Melmoth called to invite me to dinner, and after a bath, a few phone calls, Naima and I had lunch, and then fooled away the afternoon. It is a nice change having no appointments. This evening, Charles Melmoth and Dr. Kleinman of Detroit and myself had dinner, and then went to the garret of Sergei, whose last name I don't recall, the editor of Combat. There were, as usual, quite a mixture of people, and four languages were spoken. Russian predominated, since Sergei and his wife were Russian-born, but now are very anti-communistic. The discussion followed many lines, mostly politics. Charles Melmoth was a Russian correspondent at one time, so there was some interesting information passed around. The publication Combat is considered one of the better and fairer papers of France, and therefore our interest in meeting with these people. However, contrary to what I expected for a man of Sergei's position, they lived quite humbly and unpretentiously. His wife, a very unattractive woman, paints, and we therefore had to wade through her work, which stacked in every corner. But she, too, was interesting and a very gracious hostess. Dr. Kleinman probably had more fun than all of us because he could use his mother tongue freely. Russian is a beautiful language. I had lunch with David Rothman and met Ralph Raffles, a very nice fellow of a well-to-do English stock. He told me that in Manchester, £250,000 had been raised for Palestine in the past 2 months. I was surprised to learn from him and others about the strong Zionist tendencies in England. Ralph intends to leave for there in 2 weeks. I have met quite a few Englishmen, young men and women, both who have recently left for Palestine. And I spent the afternoon at the exposition, Jeanne d'Arc, and then took Ralph to the airport. Harry Rosen, myself, and six others got together for dinner at a little place in the old city, Place du Tet. We had great fun singing, dancing, and playing the piano. Later we went to Pigalle, at a little place where the staff are all women dressed as men. No one there was the least interested in me. Because Lucia de Lammermoor was being sung in Italian, we went to hear it, half expecting that it might not be too well performed. Much to our surprise, the opera was superb, and the soprano, Delmas, performed beautifully as Lucia. The entire day was spent shopping, and I spent lots of money according to my standards. I was accompanied by a Romanian woman who had been born in Berlin. In political discussions all day, I learned that she hates Germans, all brands of them. However, even more, she hates and fears the Russians, having been in Romania after Russian occupation. Her husband spent 6 years in Siberia as a laborer. Her feeling, and this is voiced by others, that even though the government has not openly declared anti-Semitism, the army basically demonstrates its existence. Her prize statement was, anybody who says he likes the Russians has obviously never seen a Russian boot. Naima, Abe, and I had dinner at David's. Later, David and I were entertained at the apartment of M. Sachs, manager of my hotel, the Royal Monceau. Some people there had been to the States for several years. General topic of conversation was a comparison of European and American women. My opinion was anxiously sought, but at this time, and for obvious reasons, I will remain silent. June the 9th, on Churchill. Took the boat train for London, leaving at 11:30 a.m. The channel crossing was nice. It is amazing how suddenly the conversation changes from French to English at the point of embarkation. Immediately upon boarding, a call came out for a doctor over the loudspeaker. It was a sick baby with very worried Scotch parents. My judgment, in coordination with another doctor, decided a diagnosis of tonsillitis. We advised them to go to the Children's Hospital in London. Picked up a book on another subject. Picked up a book on Churchill's memoirs today. It is not difficult to see from what transpired in the late 30s that amazingly few statesmen were both sincere and capable. Russia originally had good intentions, but Western capital evidently feared collaboration, so Russia entered for her own self-protection into a non-aggression pact with Germany. Joseph Davies, former Russian ambassador, bears this out in his book on Russia. Most interesting of all, the astounding fact is that secret attempts of FDR to prevent war by showing U.S. interest in the rapidly ripening European scene. Chamberlain rejected these attempts. To judge the integrity with which they were made, we have only to reflect the wave of criticism that FDR would have suffered amidst the power of the isolationists and their public appeal in the States in those days, had these attempts been accepted and put into action. Mr. Churchill feels that, if anything, this might have averted war. He also adds that it would no doubt have lost the 1940 election for FDR. Arrived in London at 8, the English night. That's not night. The English might as well be fighting the war. Everybody queues up for everything, taxis, buses, and so forth. No bread is served at meals, which are limited to 3 courses. Hotels are jammed, and streets are practically deserted after dark. London, June the 9th. Stopped at Cunard for embarkation details. The thought of going home distresses me, either because I am an escapist or because I have found that over here life has more to offer than just the tangibles. Sense of values here seem to be more solidly based. I pray that my return here will not be too far distant. I am now on my way to Shipley in Yorkshire to see the sister of Hanna Yelenkova. It is 200 miles north of London, and I'm told just a country town with nothing much to see or do. But for the first time, it seems I can be of some value to someone completely on my own, and the feeling is unique and tempered only by the difficulty of the situation. The inconvenience becomes insignificant. Shipley, June 11th. After a 2-hour delay, the train finally made it to Shipley, and I found it only slightly different from a western Pennsylvania industrial town. Dingy gray color and the architecture of the buildings and houses seem very familiar to me, perhaps because Hollywood does a good job of depicting northern England and Scotland. Contrary to my general conceptions of the English, I have been well received and find these people most gracious and friendly, behind all that apparent stodginess. Yesterday we shopped in a lovely resort town, 1 hour from here, called Harrogate. It was a great pleasure for me to have English-speaking salesmen speak with a civil tongue and a welcome tone. The bus drivers and waitresses do not appear to be the small-time despots so frequent in America, but rather are very accommodating. Even more important, the Kellners, my host, have come from Czechoslovakia. They have told me in unending praise that England has really been a godsend to the oppressed. Example, 500,000 Polish soldiers have been granted permission to stay here after the war. Political refugees from all countries have been given refuge, and the English have been admiringly receptive to them. During the war, origin made little difference. Everybody struggled together, and this uphill battle is still being waged. The restrictions here are amazing. Meat twice weekly, 3 eggs per week, and only sufficient petrol for 90 miles per month. Restaurant food is limited to only 3 courses and a 100% tax on luxury items. These are only a few of the difficult restrictions, but the spirit is tremendous. Last night, the Kellners took me to Bolton Abbey for dinner. It is one of those old places in the Yorkshire Moors, which in themselves are quite famous. The scenery is distinctive. The inspiration for many stories, Jane Austen, for example, has come from this area, with its rolling hills and heather and dirty gray stone fences, which partition the land. They say that there are more of these stone walls in Yorkshire than there are wards in the words in the Bible. Close to where we ate stands the ruins of the oldest abbey in Yorkshire. There is a certain English dignity that makes it distinctively attractive. We ate a 3-course English meal with bread thrown in for my sake, so that I might bolster ERP to England. I assume that, just an aside, I assume ERP has to do with European Recovery Program. Like all English food, the meal was very uninteresting, but the company was splendid. Today was nice. This is June 13th. After practicing on a wonderful 9-foot piano all morning, I joined the family for a quiet afternoon in the garden. This was most enjoyable, playing with the children, and then tea at 4 o'clock, the best of all English custom. It was so pleasant we had to rush considerably to make cocktails at Ken's house in Harrogate. The people that I met were all splendid to me, all over 35, but made me feel very much at ease. The home itself was one of those places every young couple dreams about. Therefore, I recorded this in my cinema camera. We left the party for dinner at Harrogate Hotel, strictly formal dinner and dancing. My date was Amy, at least 10 years my senior, a divorcee with a 5-year-old daughter. Amy and I got along splendidly. During the remainder of my visit, we became quite attached. Since the only 2 nice days on the English calendar came while I was in Shipley, we packed up for a family picnic, which we grown-ups enjoyed more than the children. Amy was with me, and again, after leaving the picnic, she took me to her mother's home. This is a museum structure of Elizabethan architecture and is the home of the Bishop of Bradford, Amy's father. We then left for Amy's home for dinner and spent a nice evening talking over the problems of life and love. June 14th, now on my way to London, I hated to say goodbye. A wonderful family. Manny, a typical beautiful woman, Walter, quiet and unassuming, a wonderful heart, and both with excellent sense of humor. Last night, they reminded me very much of friends at home. And so ends my tale.